So I'm going to kind of explain a few things about it, about me, to begin with. To begin with, I'm passionate about Scripture, and I always have been. And when I've looked at Scripture and tried to delve into it or whatever, I always notice, to begin with, this sun, S-U-N, of justice in the Old Testament. Have you guys ever noticed that? Not S-O-N, S-U-N. And I would think to myself, why is it S-U-N instead of S-O-N? But never could figure it out, never got an answer. But I'll get to that later. The second one thing about Scripture that was, of course, the greatest prayer is the Our Father. And so Christ is basically praying that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His kingdom will come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, so that's always been at the back of my mind, you know, when you pray it. But then once I heard a talk where a saint was saying that, was asked, how do you become a saint? And the answer was two words, will it. Okay? So that's always been at the back of my mind too. Then on top of that, sorry about the uhs, but besides that, I over the years have prayed that I would just be whatever the Lord created me to be, and that my children would become whatever they were created to be, okay? So for whatever their purpose was, that they would attain that while they were here on earth. So they would do his will, and I would accomplish his will in my life as well for me. So I got my master's at Newman University, and one of the first subjects that was presented was this beautiful, the God that pursues. Father Guile taught this class, the God who pursues. And what he was basically teaching on was divinization, okay? And I was kind of familiar with it. I'd heard it before. I'd read it in 2 Peter 1:4, the great and the precious promises. You guys familiar with that? And then these great and precious promises that we might come to share in his divine nature. And then Peter goes on and talks about how that happens, because there's all these kind of steps. Virtue, supplement your virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with mutual affection with love, okay? So it's all these steps that would occur, but we would become and attain this divine nature. And then also, there's also the Eucharist, and of course the source of the summit of our faith is the Eucharist, and that is his body, blood, soul, and divinity, okay? So, you know, the divinization, just there's got to be more to it. So then I also did my first thesis on it, and I did it on divinization. It was on the early Greek church fathers. And Gregory of Nyssa is deep. I hold him very close. He's a beautiful spirit, and he would be the one that would kind of synthesize the early Greek church fathers on the subject of divinization. Origen would talk about it, Irenaeus, Athanasius, and Gregory of Nyssa. So
not Gregory Law.
Thank you. So in the middle of all of this, I got introduced to the flame of love. And that was out at the Carmelite Monastery, and that's another one. Well, how did you get that? You know? And basically I was at the Carmelite Monastery, and I was several different times, and they had the book, The Flame of Love, there. The nuns weren't particularly, a couple of them were taken with it, but a lot of them weren't. And of course, they're just lovely. And so finally, the third time I'm there, and that book's just doing the spirit thing at me, and I'm like, what is that book? And of course, she's like, you can have it.
So sweet.
Okay. So, you know, I took the book and I was enamored of it because it was, oh my gosh, this is this grace for our day. Okay. And this is a special grace that God wants to give us for this day. Okay. So, and this grace would in the book lead to this new Pentecost. With this grace, we would fight fire.
Hello, Corbin.
Good evening, Sister Ann. How are you?
Well, we're in the middle of a talk. What do you need?
So I'm going to kind of explain a few things about it, about me, to begin with. To begin with, I'm passionate about Scripture, and I always have been. And when I've looked at Scripture and tried to delve into it or whatever, I always notice, to begin with, this sun, S-U-N, of justice in the Old Testament. Have you guys ever noticed that? Not S-O-N, S-U-N. And I would think to myself, why is it S-U-N instead of S-O-N? But never could figure it out, never got an answer. But I'll get to that later. The second one thing about Scripture that was, of course, the greatest prayer is the Our Father. And so Christ is basically praying that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His kingdom will come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know, so that's always been at the back of my mind, you know, when you pray it. But then once I heard a talk where a saint was saying that, was asked, how do you become a saint? And the answer was two words. Will it. Okay? So that's always been at the back of my mind too. Then on top of that, sorry about the uhs. but besides that, I over the years have prayed that I would just be whatever the Lord created me to be. And that my children would become whatever they were created to be, okay? So for whatever their purpose was, that they would attain that while they were here on earth. So they would do his will, and I would accomplish his will in my life as well for me. So I got my master's at Newman University, and one of the first subjects that was presented was this beautiful, the God that pursues. Father Guile taught this class, the God who pursues. And what he was basically teaching on was divinization, okay? And I was kind of familiar with it. I'd heard it before. I'd read it in 2 Peter 1:4, the great and the precious promises. You guys familiar with that? And then these great and precious promises that we might come to share in his divine nature. And then Peter goes on and talks about how that happens because there's all these kind of steps. Virtue, supplement your virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with mutual affection with love, okay? So it's all these steps that would occur, but we would become and attain this divine nature. And then also, there's also the Eucharist, and of course the source of the summit of our faith is the Eucharist, and that is his body, blood, soul, and divinity, okay? So, you know, the divinization, just there's got to be more to it. So then I also did my first thesis on it, and I did it on divinization. It was on the early Greek church fathers, and Gregory of Nyssa is deep. I hold him very close. He's a beautiful spirit, and he would be the one that would kind of synthesize the early Greek church fathers on the subject of divinization. Origen would talk about it, Irenaeus, Athanasius and Gregory of Nyssa. So,
not Gregory Law.
Thank you. So, in the middle of all of this, I got introduced to the Flame of Love. And that was out at the Carmelite Monastery, and that's another one. Well, how did you get that? You know? And basically I was at the Carmelite Monastery, and I was several different times, and they had the book, The Flame of Love, there. The nuns weren't particularly, a couple of them were taken with it, but a lot of them weren't. And of course, they're just lovely. And so finally, the third time I'm there, and that book's just doing the spirit thing at me, and I'm like, what is that book? And of course, she's like, you can have it.
So sweet.
Okay. So, I took the book, and I was enamored of it because it was, oh my gosh, this is this grace for our day. Okay, and this is a special grace that God wants to give us for this day. Okay, so and this grace would in the book lead to this new Pentecost. With this grace, we would fight fire. But once I heard that it was one act of the human will, it really went, that makes sense, okay? So, because the human will is where the sin comes from. The divine will doesn't have sin, okay? It's our human will that kind of screws everything up, okay? So, on top of this, the other part of what the kingdom of the divine will is it is the great restoration, okay? So, Mary will say in early a good success, it'll be dark, at the worst, when it is the most dark, then will be the beginning of the complete restoration, okay? The triumph of her immaculate heart. That was 1610, the complete restoration. Then she'll say the triumph of her immaculate heart in 1917. Then the flame of love is called the new Pentecost. And then with Luisa Piccarata, it's called the kingdom of the divine will. It's all the same thing. It's the Holy Spirit animating the world. It's not Christ being king on earth. It's the reign of the Holy Spirit in what would be the remnant that has made it through all of the chastisements and all of the darkness on earth. Okay, that comes before it. Okay, so Luisa is the first that received this gift. Okay. To the kingdom of the divine will is now a gift, and it's first given to us through Luisa Piccarata. Okay, it's pure gift. Now the question always is well, but what about the saints? Okay, and didn't they do the will of God? Absolutely. Like I think it was Saint Francis de Sales that said, "Will it." If you want to be a saint, will it. But. They didn't possess the will. Okay, they didn't possess. They did the will of God. Maybe a John of the Cross, who wrote about the great flame of love, possessed. But it is in our day and age that we have been given the opportunity, if we want it bad enough, to possess the will of God, this kingdom of the divine will that is first given through Luisa. Okay. What the kingdom of the divine will is it is the call of the creature to the original order, place, and purpose for them. Okay? So that's what I was doing, and I didn't even realize that that's what I was wanting. But if you've ever wanted that, you probably want this divine will, okay, to possess the divine will. Jesus, okay. So how do you get this gift that he has first given to us through Louisa? Let's remember that as evil increases, grace increases all the more. Okay? So how is God going to battle this 100-year reign that has been Satan? Okay? And it's through both of these gifts, the grace and the flame of love, but really the flame of love is one and the same as the kingdom of the divine world.
Okay. What year was that?
So Louisa, I'll get back to it. But Louisa was born around 1880, something like that. She dies in 1947. Elizabeth Kendelman of the Flame of Love, she's like 1912 to 1985. So they overlap each other.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So what do you do in order to enter into, to possess this divine will, okay? And it is in phases. It's not like all of a sudden you just become a saint of the top, okay? The Imperium, the fiery ones in heaven, the top level. you will it to begin with. You want it. You want it bad enough that you're willing to martyr your human will, okay? And you martyr your human will by, like, what's in 2 Peter, virtue, and increase virtue with self-control, with knowledge, okay, etc., okay? As well, the kingdom of the divine will also has, like, four stages, and it's the person that, you know, just, you know, the good, God reigns on the good and evil, so that's stage one. And they might just basically want it. Maybe they're baptized or something. But stage two is like you're on the border of the kingdom, okay? And you can see at, you know, kind of distance, like maybe there's a chance. Maybe you have a chance, you know. Third stage in the kingdom of the divine will is you're living it. You're doing everything, you know, that you can as you can. And then the fourth is possessing it, and that probably is, you know, someone like a Hannibal, who was Melanie's spiritual director, who also happened to be Louisa Pavarotti's spiritual director. He'll be the one that will actually promote the kingdom of the divine will amongst heaven. All right. But how do you do this? You know, besides the practice of virtue, martyring your human will, you fuse yourself. Okay, Jesus, this is Jesus teaching Louisa, fusing ourselves. So I have a couple of beautiful fusing prayers. Okay, and one of them, I love this. This is on one of the YouTubes, and it's the beginning of the Rosary, the Divine Flame of Love Rosary. And it says, I enter into the eternal now, the divine order of God, and no longer limited by time, I am present and able to enter into every mystery of the life of Christ in the eternal now. I invite all angels and saints and all the holy souls in purgatory to pray with me, and in this case, the rosary. I command all of creation to pray with me as well. And in case we have this rosary, bind our children, our grandchildren, and all our families to the Immaculate Heart of Mary as we implore mercy and salvation and sanctification for all creatures, the quick and complete triumph of the divine will on earth and in each one of us. Come, divine will, to love in me, listen, speak, and learn in me. Here's another one I absolutely love. I am nothing. God is all. Come, divine will. Come, heavenly Father, to beat in my heart, the Father. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood, the Son, redemption.
Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and to recall in my memory sanctification. Now, did you notice when I said the first prayer that it's affecting all of eternity? I enter into the eternal now. You have to recognize that God is now only, and you can only meet God now. Okay, it's the sacrament of the present moment. Okay, and so it's not like I can go back 2 minutes ago and meet God. Okay, he might be there, but I can't be there. You know, I can only meet him now. And that's what's so beautiful. So when you fuse yourself with this gift in the divine will, you affect everything from the beginning, because you're in the eternal moment. You're affecting everything from the beginning of the time, including what Adam and Eve did before the fall, all the way to the end. You're affecting all of creation. It's powerful. And he's giving it to us in this day and age. Okay, so
this sounds interesting. I was just going to say, my sister is kind of a student of divine will as well, and there's a beautiful prayer that you pray with rosary before you pray it, and it has a lot of that in it, but you also fuse it with the creation and the past, present, and future to redo, renew, recreate, so that we can transform all the past of the sin into the beauty of grace and into the future with that fusion of the divine will. If anybody wants it, I can email it out.
Yeah,
definitely.
Sure. Yeah. I
didn't even know about this.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. It just enamored you to having these. So, all right.
Can I just ask you one more thing? I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
Does the Divine Mercy Chaplet, because that was written, does that play into any of it?
Well, okay. So there's three stages that pertain to the Trinity, okay? So God the Father is the Father of creation, okay? So, and it's all of these are 2,000 year cycles basically too, also, is basically what Jesus teaches. So for the first 2,000 years of creation, it was, you know, that's from God the Father and blessing all and dominion over all with Adam and Eve. And then comes the 2,000 years of redemption, and that represents Jesus, and that's where divine mercy fits in, because we are still in the era of redemption, but we're trying to usher in this era of the Holy Spirit, which is the era of the kingdom of the divine will, the era of sanctification.
Divine. Yes.
Okay. I'm afraid I might confuse if I bring
very,
up
well, the, okay, that's mm-hmm. a little talk after one of the Flame of Love rosaries on the YouTube, and it's very informative about creation, redemption, sanctification. It's full circle. So I wonder if it kind of talked about that. I just didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it's all kind of tied together.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. Yeah. 85% of the people that pray the Flame of Love, with including the petition in the rosary, besides the other Flame of Love prayers, which have to do with union with Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, it's all about unity with God in the first place. Okay, that's again the divine will. Okay, those prayers as well fuse. They also blind Satan. Okay, which is what we need. I'm just going to include this here too. In regards to the petition in the Flame of Love, I get people don't like to include it, okay? Spread the effective grace of thy Flame of Love over all of humanity now and at the hour of our death, amen. It adds time to the rosary. It adds, et cetera, et cetera. There's different reasons. But what is generally not understood is that the rosary itself was, for lack of a better term, piecemealed together over the centuries, okay? And there are better terms than that. But it was developed. It developed over the centuries. Early on, there was no rosary. It wasn't Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord's with thee. It was literally the monks, and they had rosary beads, and it was Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. And then by Dominic's time, it was he wasn't successful, and then Mary appears, pray my angelic psalter, and it's Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Hail Mary, full of grace. So, and that's all he did. And then 30, 40 years after that, it's Pope Urban, and he'll say, Holy Mary, he'll include Jesus, the name Jesus. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. He just includes the name Jesus. And then 1300, whenever it was, 1200, 1300, when the bubonic plague was, that's when you have them saying, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. That's when that came in. And that wasn't even in the catechism, but it grew and took on for like three centuries. So by 1533, you have it finally in a catechism around the time of Trent. Okay, so you have that whole Hail Mary that we know now. Then you got Fatima, and you got, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven. Okay, you got that included because of Fatima. Then on top of that, you have the luminous mysteries just now from the year 2000 on. At the same time, Luisa Piperata is doing this with the Divine Will stuff, and Elizabeth Pendleman is getting add and include in the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners and spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death, amen. And isn't that going to be beautiful in the kingdom of the divine will? Isn't that going to be beautiful? Spread the effect of your grace, of your love over all of humanity, over all your kingdom. Okay. All right. So, how does Luisa fuse herself? What does she say about it? Okay, she says, I see.
Just go home. She's got a bunch of kids.
I concentrate. I concentrate. I enter into God in front of me. I see what seems to be a little girl, a soul. Her soul is a little girl. Okay? And we have to become like little children. We all know we have to be little in God's lap, in God's arms.
And she probably didn't know that that's a very ancient Greek iconography thing, that to betray the soul as a child.
Well, no, she wouldn't. And I didn't either.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just know it from Teresa of Lisieux, you know, and on. So she says, I lose myself in creation. I voyage among the stars and the heavens and the sun and in the air. I breathe. In all the universe, I see love. I gather all the love God has put in creation, and I give it back to him in praise, in love, in thanksgiving for everything he has done and placed in creation for me. I thank him. I praise him for me and for everyone, including those who don't thank him. Now, doesn't that remind you of the little Fatima children? I thank you, you know, I love you, and for those that do not love you, that do not adore you, that do not praise you, as St. Michael taught them, same thing, okay? All right, so I, as the Holy Spirit would control my printer, the whole thing of the rounds that were given to Luisa that she did printed out for me a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, every time for me. So now you bring that up, I will stop there. If you love Frances Hogan, who does all these commentary, oh, she's awesome.
Yeah.
And she's got all of Luisa's writings, all the books, everything on her franceshogan.org/.com. And then she has all the commentaries on them, too, on all of Luisa's writings. So you're going to get very orthodox understanding. So she's franceshogan.org.com, her home page. All right. So the rounds are built like the Liturgy of the Hours. You have the morning prayer, the evening prayer, daytime prayer, propers, etc. I wanted to read this here to you so you get an idea of the beauty of this. And in our little Divine Will groups, it's like you do with the liturgy of the hours. You have on one side of the table and the other side of the table, and you're answering back, and that's kind of how we do it. But I'm going to begin with the prayer, okay, and then go into the other. So it says, I come to adore you, to bless you, to thank you for all. I come to bind to your throne all human wills of all generations. We're in the eternal now. That's the gift. We can do this. From the first to the last man, so that all may recognize your supreme will. May all adore it, love it, give it life within their souls. O supreme majesty, in this immense void, there are all these creatures, and I want to take them all and place them in the most holy divine will, so that all may return to the origin from which they came, your most holy divine will. This is why I came into your paternal arms, to bring you all your children, all your brothers and sisters of mine, and bind them all for your divine will. So how we do it? So I say, I love you, and I glory, and Flo might say, to my creator in the vault dotted with stars. I love you and I glory to my creator in the celestial vault. I love you and I glory to my creator in the stars. I love you and I glory to my creator in each star. I love you and I glory to my creator in every star. I love you and I glory to my creator for as many as are stars. I love you and I glory to my creator in the shining stars at night. I love you and I glory to my creator in their twinkling. I love you. Your kingdom come. Oh, please let it be known, loved, and possessed by the human generations. And it goes on and on and on. You talk about, you're praising him for the birds. You're praising him for, you know, whatever, okay? But it goes on so much that even Louisa got a little tired with it, okay? And she's like, why do I have to keep doing this, you know? And the reason is, I hope I'm not getting out of order here. The reason is because Jesus will explain to her, that's like a currency, okay? Y'all, we have money, we have currencies here on earth. We know what that is. But this is purchasing the kingdom, okay? This is calling down the kingdom. This is what she did. What she really did was she was 40 years in bed, bedridden. She never got out. But when she's doing these rounds, she's actually, she's such an incredible mystic. She's transporting. She's seeing the whole universe. She's in kind of a catatonic state. Nobody can lift her. Nobody can move her. Nobody can do it. But she had a special dispensation. And, you know, and Jesus would be sharing this kind of stuff in the middle of this, these, you know. And then other times she'd be sitting straight up in bed and just doing these as well. And then he would come to her as well. But she was such an incredible mystic. It took the Eucharist that she only lived on for 40 years. She had nothing else but the Eucharist. And that's, you know, well documented. It took the Eucharist to get her back up out of that catatonic, whatever that state was that God had her held in. Okay. So that's kind of amazing.
Amy, I talked to a priest who was very enamored with the divine will, but he said that these rounds, there just wasn't time because he was obligated to the divine office and he was obligated to his apostolate.
Right.
And in a way, the divine office is an office of the church to praise the Lord. So is the divine office made with the intention of the divine will? Does that take the place? Or how can you reconcile those for religious and priests?
I can't reconcile them for religious and priests. I would not tell a religious to do the divine will over the liturgy of the hours. Go ahead.
What I've read up on it is that it will come later into the Catholic Church. You know how it came slowly to us? Mm-hmm. Okay. From us, later on, it's going to develop into the Catholic Church. I don't know how many years it's going to take or what, but the Catholic Church will accept it all. And we'll be praying divine will. So there's your priest right there praying all the divine will that's going to come.
Well, and maybe that's during the kingdom. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Does the Catholic Church not accept it now?
Yes.
These are approved. Yes. So is the Flame of Love.
Yes.
And these have many approbations. From 1996 on, when her spiritual director Hannibal was canonized, the writings were released. At that point, it was just the 19, but from like 2015 or 2016 on, it's all 36 volumes.
Oh my gosh.
So, Yeah.
Well, the thing,
but I can't reconcile that for religion. I'm not going there. Yeah, that's above my pay grade.
Well, it was his too, because the divine office is considered the prayer of the church, and that's why laity are encouraged to pray it, because you are praying with Christ the high priest, and your prayer is very powerful because it is his prayer, sort of like the Mass in a way. So any baptized soul in the Catholic Church that prays the divine office is praising God with the high priest. So
I'm not saying anything against liturgy the average.
Right, but the way she talks, it's like it's not an option. If you want the divine will, you have to pray the rounds. I mean, that's the way I understood it. And so it was kind of scary in that sense. Like, how?
I think there's a time for everything.
Yeah, I think Flo's probably right on that.
From what I read, it's that there's a time for everything, and we can't push it unless God wants it at that time, and that's what it will happen. It's just like
It is interesting that Jesus would present it as the Liturgy Hours in the same format of the Liturgy Hours. I don't know if what you're saying. If divine will takes over during the kingdom,
it's
from,
just like Sister Christina. She had to wait for the time. It was all there, but no one, the Catholic Church didn't immediately pick it up. It took years before it got to us.
And I can't really see the Catholic Church letting go of the divine liturgy of the hours either. So
because
that's the continuation of the Mass.
All this information you're transforming came out of the vault of Rome.
Yeah, but like Sister's saying, again, the Liturgy of the Hours is the continuation of the Mass.
Can I just say so, but okay, the way I understood it from what my sister has taught me, and I know I'm no scholar of the Bible, believe me, but is that these rounds and some of these prayers that Louisa taught or received from Jesus, that the divine will at this point in time isn't for everyone. Because not everybody has the time to do. But the person who is drawn to the divine will is it's like
a vocation,
destination kind of. Yeah. God is calling them very specifically into this whole divine bringing the kingdom. They're very, very special souls that are drawn to this, and those who can do the rounds. Are drawn to desire to do the rounds, and they can do the rounds, and they will, whatever way of life and whatever vocation you have or whatever, then you can do it whatever. But like you said, I mean, the liturgy hours is its own thing. And
another thing, I was reading just a day or so ago about the rounds, and Jesus was talking to Louisa, and he was saying how it pleased him so much when the rounds were being prayed, because it's me, he says. It's all about me.
Yeah. And we're calling down this kingdom of the divine. We're trying to get this era ushered in, basically. Okay?
How long does it take to pray the rest?
So, but I will tell you, if you enter into prayer and then you enter into a deeper, you start with these and you and then, Jesus, what is it you want to tell me? You know, it's always that, you know, what does he want me to know? And maybe I end up in a scripture or something like that. But oh my gosh, if you know anything about your brain, if you know anything about the, Cindy Pinkerton was here, because if you know anything about the force of the brain, what you're doing is you're lighting up your entire brain. It's light in your brain. It's entering into it, and that's like how you enter. It's like you do know you're entering into the eternal now.
Because Jesus comes into you and he speaks.
It's
you.
Just light. It's just light.
He lives in
I
you.
Praise you, Anna.
He's
and that
in you.
And if you okay, so Caroline Leaf. She talks about 2 minutes of adoration, 2 minutes of praise, 2 minutes of worship. And what that does to your brain, if it just is so, that's the way you're created. So if you have underlying depression, it lights your brain up because it's God. It just makes such a difference.
Okay, and what's the difference between that and just praying? Like the rosary or?
Okay, so what?
The rounds.
Which part? The rounds? Well, so. well, the rosary is completely different than the rounds.
Right, I understand that, but don't you, doesn't it do the same thing to your brain?
Yes, it can if you, okay. But there's something about praising, adoration, and giving glory that literally, it's scientific. That's all I can tell you.
And it's science, and that's what the rounds are.
So, and basically that's it. It ends up being what the rounds are. But the purpose is to call down the kingdom. Now, what she's referring to, time limitations, that's why I basically told you all about Louisa.
But like if you were gonna pray one round, how long would that take?
Not that long.
Well, I don't know, 10 minutes, 20, maybe 20,
It takes me a lot longer to pray my rosary.
Doesn't it depend on
which one? Probably, yeah.
So you pray the rounds?
We do when we're together. Oh. Yeah, and then I do in adoration. I really do, but if the Lord's leading me into, you know, or the readings, oh my gosh, his readings are amazing.
There's different rounds for different seasons of the church. Like
there's that too.
The pageant, there's rounds at the pageant.
That's right.
And stuff like that.
That's right. And I haven't even gotten into that. I haven't even gotten that far. Yeah, the Advent rounds, I've completely forgotten about
them.
Excuse me.
So you can go to the divinewill.org. And the rounds will be there as well.
The divine will.
Do you have to put Louisa?
If you go to it.
The divine will.
And then you go to the rounds on that. There's a whole bunch of different listings with the writings and about Adam and Eve and all that. And you go, you push the round down and the rounds come up.
Oh, because I don't have my readers, so I can't even.
So, anywho, let me keep going because this is long. Okay, I will tell you in regards to the length. I'll just go to this right now to answer these questions because that length is a concern. So, what the priests say is, you don't have time if the rounds are too much. Whatever, read the Passion. Read the Passion, and I have quotes I wanted to share with you what Jesus says about from reading the Passions too. Okay, so. So I'll just leave at that right now. Okay, so I want to get back to the Sun of Justice, S-U-N of Justice, okay? I finally got my answer as to why it's the S-U-N of Justice, okay? And it's because we're ushering in this era of the divine will. Sorry about that.
I can hear you.
It's because he is the sun. And we're children of the light, and this whole sanctification is, he wants us to become sons, S-U-N, too. And like John of the Cross would say, he wants us to become a living flame. And what is that? That's sun. The flames come off the sun, right? He wants us to become sons, too. Okay? S-U-N. So Jesus explains to Louisa, my will, and the sun is the image in the kingdom of the divine will. The Son is the image of his will in the kingdom of the divine will. Okay? So, Jesus explains to Louisa, my will, veiled in the light of sun, while loving singing the praises of our divine qualities, from the height of the sphere, says to man, in everything you do, always be light, just as I am, so the light can convert you to heat. And you can become as one single flame of love for your Creator. Look at me. As always, always being light, I possess sweetness. So much so that I communicate it to the plants and the plants to the people, etc. And he goes on. Then he says, you will have no more bile or anger in your soul. You will possess the flavors. He talks about the flavors and the colors of what God, this of the Supreme Being, what God, the Father, literally is. You will be Son, S-U-N, like me. And this is going to be a kingdom of justice, you guys. This is going to be a kingdom of righteousness. Right now, we're in the mercy, like you were asking, okay? The era of redemption. But this is going to be perfect justice, perfect righteousness. animated, everything, creation and the human being, animated by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And up until the time of Louisa, God did not offer this gift to mankind. Okay? All right? So we will be, we're still fallen. We weren't like Adam or and Eve before the fall, or Mary and Jesus, because we're still fallen. We still had to be baptized and stuff. But we will be as much as we can be divinized in this period while on earth. Okay?
So, Amy, if Louisa is kind of a third Eve?
She was of common stock. So he took the he took us, one of us, a special, what do you call the souls that are sacrificial souls? I forget.
Victim soul.
Yeah, she was like Padre Pio. Victim soul. And he took her. And that's why she's 40 years in bed. Because it's 40 weeks, you know, of gestation or whatever to give birth to. So she's basically the one that he chose to give birth to, you know, the generation of the children that want to be part of this.
Well, if Eve had Adam and Jesus, Mary had Jesus, who is Louisa's counterpart?
She's the first. She doesn't have a counterpart.
Human after a blessed mother.
That's why she's different. She's just like all the saints did the divine will, but Jesus didn't have this gift of to possess, to offer, to effect all of eternity. Now,
so she wasn't a saint, but she was sort of like on the same length as Marian.
She was a victim soul that he chose for that, for our day and time, okay? He didn't choose this gift, okay, of the possession of the divine will, okay? Versus the saints before, they did the divine will and became very lofty and saints, okay, through their practice of virtue, etc., okay? But they will reference things like the flame of love, like John of the Cross did. Okay? Yeah. So she's the first of, we're common stock, basically. Okay, we had to be baptized, we're fallen, blah, blah, blah. Okay? But hopefully we're children of the light, right?
And our Blessed Mother lived the divine will all her life.
Exactly. Mary always, she did not, that's why Mary didn't fall like Adam and Eve. Because she never did an act of her own human will. It does make sense. All sin enters with your human will. It doesn't enter with the divine will. There's no sin in the divine will. It enters with the human will. That's why you had the fall of Adam and Eve. Prior to that fall, though, Adam and Eve did do a lot of acts in the divine will. I mean, and so there are many sons that they produced, many stars, suns, okay? That they produced. And that's why we even have an opportunity now to have this in our day and age, okay? And that's also Jesus' teaching. All right, so Jesus also teaches, knowing that this is beautiful and encouraging it, but it's very timely, okay, time-consuming, Jesus has two books. He's got his Passion, and he's got the Kingdom, Mary's Kingdom, Kingdom of the Divine Will in Mary, or something like that. So there's two books, and those are the two books that are most encouraged by those that are in the Divine Will, and those that Mary Berger brought. Okay, so his Passion is literally what his soul is praying, what it's saying during his entire Passion. And I'm telling you, it's gut-wrenching. You just can't believe it.
Awesome.
And you just can't keep going with it. You got to stop. I can't take it anymore, Jesus. Yeah. You're just crying.
Yeah.
And the love that you sing and pray is unbelievable.
And the reason they're like, the reason why they're satanic and they're insane, the reason they just keep beating him and beating him and beating him is because he wants it. He wants so he can save more souls. He wants that love. It's him. It's his prayers. This book is his prayers. It's his soul. He's revealing his soul. Okay? So he, the hours are the most of my passion and the most precious of all. Put them, the hours of passion are the most precious of all. He puts these souls that pray this, he'll put them in the front, and he's going to, you know, like the transfiguration of Teresa, he's going to shoot arrows. Well, they can even shoot arrows back at him. These arrows of love, okay, if you're familiar with it. Love and happy arrows of love and happiness. Many hours spent making the passion. It depends on how, what level, you know, of openness you are to all of this. Depending upon the dispensation, the disposition of the soul, literally every word can save a soul. The hours of the passion that Jesus gave to Louisa, what she literally saw and endured, etc. Okay, so every word of the passion. So that's why the priests, and I don't have time for the rounds, but they do pray the passion. And you know the passion. Jesus always says that's the most. Even you know in this era, in the era of redemption, he said that as well. But to call down and to save souls for this era of sanctification, that's what this passion does. Every word, depending upon your disposition, can save a soul as you read it. Okay, because they're the internal prayers of Jesus. He sees it as things are done by himself, and it grants to you his very own merits, and it's not even an indulgence. It's greater than an indulgence. It makes you obtain the effects of my passion according to the soul's disposition. Jesus told Louisa, for every word she wrote, I will give you a kiss, a soul. They who make them together with me and with my own will, for every word that they make, I shall give them a soul. So it's what, so it's what the divine will priests always encourage. Okay, then during the month of May, there's Our Lady, who's always the greatest example, and she's going to demonstrate how she every day did her divine will, never accommodated her human will. So that's what that book is about, and it's a great teaching to us, and many people of Marian people really enjoy it.
Learn a lot from it. Not even one time did our Blessed Mother ever do her own will. Not even one time. And she pleased God the Father and Jesus so much that they gifted her with more, more, more.
It was just interesting to me that Louisa doesn't have a counterpart. I mean, she seems to be, they say common stocks. There's always male and female. You always send them two by two. And her name is Louisa. So the male that comes to my mind is Louis de Montfort, because he taught giving ourselves to Mary. So I just see him as a prototype somehow of this new era. So I don't know.
Well, he certainly has helped usher it in. Mm-hmm. To be ushered in.
Sort of a mystical connection there.
Away from what I read, our Blessed Mother is the queen of the divine will, and Louisa comes right after her, and she works with our Blessed Mother a lot.
Okay, so that looks like pretty much I've already spoken about the rest, but so just understand, if you want this, you want it, it's a gift, and you ask for it, and you enter into the eternal now to fuse yourself, you just learn. You pray and you learn as you go, because you can't learn. There's so much.
Did you say you have a prayer group?
Yes, I do.
When is your prayer group?
So, depending upon, Mondays at 1 o'clock, or 6:30 every other Wednesday evening.
Okay.
You're more than welcome to join. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Where is it? Like tomorrow at 1?
Yeah.
And where?
My house. I live about a mile that way at the most. I'll give you my address.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more you get into it, it's heaven on earth.
Yeah.
I deeply appreciate this, Amy, because
thank you, Amy. That's very good.
Because Louisa kind of pursues me. I can't really get away from her. I would love to, because with 34 volumes, I don't really want to read all her stuff and become an expert. She's overwhelming at times, but the connection to Melanie and Louisa is Father Anibal. So I just feel like, and we are. This order is helping bring in the era, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And what else is that except the kingdom, the divine will, and the flame of love? So it's all connected somehow. Yeah. But there is a number. Jesus said there would be many false prophets in our times. And so this particular devotion, I'll call it, or way of life, I'll call it, is also a victim of false prophets. There's a lot of confusion about understanding it properly. And a few weeks ago, this gentleman reached out to me from Florida and saying that he wanted to collaborate with me in spreading the gospel or stuff. So I kept asking him, what does he want to do? And it turns out he says he feels called to spread the divine will devotion. And he's sending us some booklets or something. And he's going to address us this Tuesday. If you are at St. Peter's, we're going to have a Zoom conference call with him after our prayer group holy hour. But he has since contacted me with some other things. And he's into scalar energy, and he sees the scalar energy as God. But scalar energy is created, and God is uncreated. And then he's got some other ideas, and then he feels that he's had thousands of personal private revelations. And so I really am a little leery of this gentleman. So I'm glad Amy has introduced us to a way that I feel, from what I have studied, Amy has given a very, very balanced account of it. And we will have to decide together about this, Tom.
I was just going to suggest one of the great teachers of divine will in the United States is Father Celso.
Yes.
He was actually at the Vatican in the where they brought them out. He was there, and he's kind of the one who really knows the true. Not that there were some writings that were mistranslated and some false stuff got out there, but he's very solid. He is the most solid you're going to find in the United States. He does teachings every so often. I don't know, you may have paid.
There's thing. 3:00, but it's Eastern time, so it's probably 2:00 Eastern.
And they're wonderful.
On Sundays. And everybody just raves about him, and I keep missing him.
Father Celso.
C-E-L-S-O.
C-E-L-S-O. And he's a scholar of the divine will, okay? And so he'd be the one to really help you with it. And so if you can tune into any of
that's
those,
really
if Amy wants to send those out, you know, I get them every now and then for my sister, and I try to forward them to whoever, you know. But does he do it regularly every week?
I don't know that for sure.
But I know that I think he does quarterly, like classes. And they're usually a couple of, well, like he just got done doing it, was it November? He did a retreat that was 4 hours. On and off.
I remember that.
It was really awesome. So anyway, just remember that that's available as well.
Yeah.
Thank you,
and
Julie.
That's who Victoria. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Also recommends.
The Passion. Where do you find that? Because you put that
in. So you can get the Passion of...
He's actually... I think he's sending that book to us.
Yeah.
I believe he's sending us.
Well, Celso emailed those to me. I can forward them to you.
See, the Passion.
The Passion. I would love you to do that.
Yeah.
You've got the books? Is that what you're saying?
He's emailed me the rounds that were on a PDF.
Okay.
Oh,
if you want them.
Yeah, well, no, I got them right here now. Copy them. Yeah.
So the Passion is by Louisa Pinacotta?
Picarata. P-I-C.